Years ago, I was working for a youth correctional facility. And while there, I met this guy. He was 21 years old at the time, had been in prison for 5 years, and had 10 more years to go before he was finally released. I didn't know his crime at the time, neither is it all that important. When I met him, he already had a deep passion for the faith. He was reading the Bible every day, finding new things to ask me. He was spending whatever time he could on the internet, researching what was going on, trying to learn as much as he could. He clearly didn't have the right language and didn't quite grasp what was going on, but his passion was immensely evident. This passion did immense stuff for the prison. Not only did it inspire him to keep learning and to come to our little youth group, but it also inspired 3 other people while he was there to convert and be baptized while in the prison. When I met him 3 years later, after working with him for a couple years, he had gone even further. After these powerful experiences of having people convert because of his faith, he started a mentorship program. And he was trying to encourage those who were younger than him who came into the prison to change their lives and to seek for something new, to learn new skills and to help them through the system. At the time I saw him, he had 10 different mentees under his control, and he was working to help all these boys that came to the prison to find new life. I have another story for you. A while ago, I was visiting a prisoner, and as we're chatting in the kitchen, she was lamenting that her kids don't go to Mass anymore and that they don't have any faith. They've all fallen away, and she doesn't know what to do. She raised him in the faith. She did all the things she could, and still they don't seem to believe. I listened. There's not a lot I could do. And eventually I went and sat down. In the living room, her husband was there and her son. They're mindfully playing with their phones. And then all of a sudden her daughter came in and started to help her in the kitchen. She was working away and all of a sudden a little dispute arose over what they should be making or how things should work in the kitchen. That led to bigger disputes about her relationship with her husband and all the things going wrong with her family. And then it led to all these other disputes that had happened through all their time together. Now, furious and mad at each other, the daughter stormed away, and the woman kept working at her task. After a little while, when things calmed down, I went back to see how things were going. She was like, that daughter of mine, how dare she? She doesn't think what I say is good. She doesn't believe me. She doesn't think that these things are wrong for her. What do I do? Again, I didn't have much advice. And so I ask you, which of these stories show repentance? The prisoner or the woman with her daughter? This is where we are too. A lot of times we don't realize the value of repentance. Jesus gives us a strong parable and words to describe the value of it. He starts out by giving these 2 examples of times in which we think people would, not repent and therefore are guilty of whatever happened to them. But that's not his parable. His parable is something different. His parable is that of a fig tree. The fig tree, having been fed by the soil and fed by the waters that come to it, should grow and produce fruit, but it's not. All of us are like the fig tree. We have been enriched by the waters of baptism, given the graces of God so we can grow and flourish with the goal that we produce fruit. But do we? Do we have fruit of repentance? This parable is about repentance. I'm guessing that all of us, when we grew up, were taught by our parents to say sorry when we did something wrong. Whether we meant it or not, we said it, because we're supposed to. In the same way, if we hurt someone or did something against another person, we would make amends, give a gift, maybe buy a new toy. We had all these different things our parents told us that we ought to do to show that we're sorry and make up for what we did. When we got older and had kids, we did the same thing for our kids. We told them, you are to say sorry and to mean it, and you are to do things to help people when you do something wrong. But do we follow the same example? Now that we don't have our parents over us, do we say we're sorry? Do we act repentant? Do we do things to help people out when we've done something wrong? This is our challenge for today. If we're really going to show fruits of repentance, it means that our actions should mirror our thoughts. If we are truly sorry, how do we show it? If we believe that God is merciful, do we believe we have to do something in response to that? Or should we do something in response to it? Now, the Jewish people have a way of understanding this, and it's kind of harsh. They believe that for every ill you do, every sin you commit, you have to do something to make up for that. So, for instance, as we go back through the Old Testament, when you formed a capital sin, a sin against the Ten Commandments, You had to bring a bull or a goat or a sheep to the temple and have it be sacrificed. That was a significant amount of wealth. They didn't have big flocks or herds. So for us, that would be the equivalent to giving like $800 or $900 to the church every time we commit a sin against the Ten Commandments. My guess is that some of us would be very poor at the end and the church would be very rich. That's not the point, though. It's the point of reparation means blood for blood, sacrifice for sacrifice. I did something to hurt God, I do something in response. As sins get lesser, it can be a grain offering. Still something significant, maybe $10 to $50 for us, or it might be a free will offering, an incense offering. There's lots of things they would do to show that they are truly repentant. Here's the event, the action that shows I'm sorry. For lesser things, such as touching something dead or unclean acts, you would wash yourself clean, which gives this image of all these people wandering around with wet clothes all day as they realize, and everyone else realizes, they've done something wrong. Even in modern day Judaism, it's the same idea. They would give money or they'd give gifts to show I truly mean my act of repentance. I am truly sorry. Now for us Christians, in a totally different era, we don't feel like we have to. God forgave us, right? He forgives all of our sins. We can just ask Him for it and here it is. But there's a problem with that. Did it change our hearts? Did it change our minds? Did it change our habits? Did we do anything with that? Or are we kind of, in a sense, abusing God, saying, you can forgive me all I want, I'll just keep doing whatever I feel like. There's the challenge. And so in the same way, I can return back to my first two stories to show the value of repentance. Who was truly repentant? The prisoner or the woman with her family? I think we know the answer. It's the prisoner. He did something. The other woman, she kept doing whatever she was doing. She had no reason to forgive, and it filtered out into the relationships with her family. The same thing works for us. We have natural and social means for which we do these things. If I made an appointment with my friend to go out to lunch and I forgot it, what would I do? Call them up, say I'm sorry, and say, hey, what can I do to make it up for you? If I broke something of my friend's, I would replace it. If I stole, I would give back the money. We have these things we normally do as part of who we are as a society. But what about on a spiritual level? What does it look like when we offend God? Well, we can still do things. This is the whole point of the sacrament of reconciliation. Not only does God forgive you, and it's gone, but we have a penance. The penance is designed to be those little spiritual things we can do to feel like we did something. We actually desire forgiveness. We realize that it had effects in our lives. We realize that it takes some work for us to undo it, but also to change our own habits and behaviors. That's the penance. But we can do those anytime we want. If we're struggling with something or feel like we fell into a sin, we can always ask God for forgiveness, but we can do simple things. Maybe give up sweets or give up that one sweet. It doesn't have to be big. It should actually be fairly small. Maybe we spend some time in prayer or spend some time begging for forgiveness. Read scripture. Do something nice for someone. Jesus makes the point that if we are truly sorry and repentant, there should be effects from it. We should see fruit of our repentance. Change in our lives, new life in the people around us, healed relationships, stuff like that. Because when we choose to repent, when we choose to have fruits and to work towards those fruits, the world is changed. We have better relationships with people. What they see in us is mercy. They see kindness. They see God at the core of our lives, and they want that. It's a desirable thing. So there is great value, not just for us personally, but for the people around us, if we're willing to work toward this route of finding ways to build spiritual fruits, fruits of our forgiveness. And then from there, people start to convert, because they see that Christianity means something. It's not just words, it's actions. It's a feeling. It's a realization that we can change the world around us. So I encourage you, take up this challenge. Find little spiritual acts you can do to realize that you are truly sorry for what's happened. Or find little things you can do to lead you into an expression of who God is, that the people around you may see God changing your lives too, and really desire what He sees in all of us. The mercy of God being flowing out into the world, changing the world itself.